Welcome to the Daily Dietitian Podcast. I am your host, Stacey Mitchell. I am so happy to have you here. My goal for this podcast is to break down the latest health topics and help clear the clutter in the messy world of nutrition and fitness. We hope to inspire, educate, and entertain all things wellness. Join us as we talk with experts in their fields on how to feel our best in our own body and mind. Hey there, thank you for joining us this week. In this episode, I am so excited to have our guest, Alyssa Smolin, a registered dietitian, to the podcast. Her mission is to empower others and embrace healthy lifestyle through really accessible and practical tips, and she clearly shows that on her Instagram page. By day, she serves as a WIC dietitian, and in her spare time, she's doing all kinds of collaboration with various brands like Barilla, Kibo Foods, MyFitnessPal, and Kashi, advocating for nutrition wellness. Alyssa's expertise has earned her recognition in prominent publications such as Forbes Health, Eat This, Not That, Bloomberg, and other authoritative platforms. During our conversation, she opens about her journey with thyroid cancer, sharing insights into how the experience reshaped her life, her philosophy for living her best life. This is such an interesting and inspiring conversation. I cannot wait for you to hear. Well, Alyssa, it is so great to have you on the show with us. Will you introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and what you do?
My name is Alyssa Smolin. I am a registered dietitian. I have my master's of nutrition and food science and a minor in journalism. And I just recently got my CBN certification so I could practice in New York. And I currently work as a WIC nutritionist, but I also do media work on the side, like working with brands, creating content for them or creating content on my Instagram, and also contributing to articles as a expert nutrition source.
So fun. Can you explain a little bit more what that CDN applies to?
So it's basically the certification that you need when you want to practice as a dietitian in New York.
Okay.
And New Jersey just got licensure. So soon New Jersey will be like licensed dietitians. But that has only just become recently. So that is not a thing yet. So in New Jersey, I am just a registered dietitian nutritionist. Soon, everybody will have to get another certification.
Oh my gosh. Is that just for dietitians, or does it encompass other health professionals?
No, it's just dietitians. We just got licensure, which is amazing, but we've been fighting in New Jersey for a very long time to have that protected under law. So we're very excited here in New Jersey that we will officially have the government telling us, yes, everybody who's a dietitian is like certified legal person who can practice and give medical nutrition therapy. So it really only passed in the last like 2 years, if I recall. Great. It's been a long time coming. We're very happy here.
Oh, that's so good. Yes, I have a licensed dietitian after mine here in Iowa. So it's interesting to see the different states and if they have licensure and if they don't.
Yes, we were one of the, I think there's still like two maybe that don't have it, but we're one of the last ones in New Jersey to get it.
Oh my gosh, darn it. So daytime is WIC. How are you liking that?
It is absolutely the best thing I will ever do in my life as a dietitian. I have always wanted to work there ever since I did research when I was a sophomore in college on the Farmers Market Nutrition Program, which is how every farmer's market season, people who are on WIC and SNAP get vouchers to buy fruits and vegetables at the farmer's market. And I did research with a professor, and she very much inspired me to work with that population of people. And I basically just have been very interested in WIC ever since. And I was fortunate enough to get a WIC rotation when I was doing my internship. So I got a little taste of it to actually see, oh, do I actually like this? And I loved it. It was my favorite rotation that I had. So I was super excited that I was able to get a WIC job right after I passed. So even if I had a bad day, I had a good day because I still helped someone. And that's kind of the only thing you can ask for when you go to work.
That is fantastic to hear. Within your social media page, who is your audience and who do you like to help within that aspect?
Ideally, if I really were to like map it out, I'm helping women between the ages of 20 and 34, or like 24 to 34, or people, young millennial Gen Z people navigate diet culture, nutrition, eating healthy, and telling them, yes, it's okay, you can have pasta. Yes, it's okay, you can have sugar. Like, actually, here's what you really need to be doing. You don't need to buy this fancy greens powder. You don't need to go on a juice cleanse. Trying to be as real as possible and like make it a little fun, because nutrition can be very complicated if you don't understand it. Like, you hear a lot of different things and you can easily fall into trying to do everything, and it's impossible to like not eat sugar, to not eat carbs, but then to only eat high protein. Like, you have to like pick kind of something, and like that should be like your thing. Like, everyone, you can't do it all. You can't be vegetarian, be gluten-free, be low sugar, be this. Like, you know, you have to pick what's going to work for you in your lifestyle and like roll with that. You literally cannot do everything.
What are some popular reels or posts on your page?
Well, I posted a reel actually literally yesterday, and I have no idea why it has 16,000 views. It is not, it's honestly nothing special. And honestly, that happens all the time. The reels that you think are going to do so well get like the least amount of views. And I made this reel on my cycling bike a few days ago, and I spent not a lot of time making it, and then it got 16,000 views. So, you know, that one, it was about pasta. It was about making pasta for my long run. Oh. Because I'm training for the Boston Marathon. So I made that reel about, you know, cooling up before your long run, and somehow it has 16,000 views. I also get good views about a lot of good reels about how I talk about how I had thyroid cancer. Those get a lot of views. So, you know, that's more about like public service announcement and things like that. You know, or when people were like criticizing me about nutrition and I was trying to like, you know, tell them off. Or when people underestimate. I have one about someone who a high school teacher who underestimated me and basically told everybody I was stupid. And now I have my master's degree and I'm a registered dietitian. I have published off like papers on like PubMed. So, like, you know, like, just don't believe people, because you don't know what they're capable of.
That away, go get them. What are some of your favorite foods or recipes to post within your website or on social media?
I really like posting easy things to make that I think that everybody can make, that's not that many ingredients. That's like utilizing the air fryer or things that, or trying different like cuisines too. I think it's really important to be exposed to like all different sorts of cuisines, like try making, I've made my own dumplings before, which I thought was super fun, because most people, that's kind of hard to make, honestly, but if I can do it, like, you can do it too. Like, I think I am a pretty good cook, but at the end of the day, like, you can still do it if you have instructions. And if you're interested, I've made spring rolls before, which is super fun, because you can really customize that to like what you like. I always like showing people, and I eat pretty plant-based. I'm a pescatarian now, technically. I used to be a strict vegetarian for a long time, but also like customizing different things that might normally have meat. Dumplings normally have meat, but I use like a plant-based meat, or I've used like tofu in the spring rolls or things like that. And I'm Italian, so I've made like plant-based meatballs before. I put that on my reel. So I want to show people that like you can still eat like all these different types of like cultural foods depending on like where you're from, but you can still modify them to fit within your diet. Like, if you're gluten-free, you can use this sort of thing because it fits in your diet. Like, you don't have to not have this food because of a dietary restriction.
What are some common hiccups that your clients have when it comes to nutrition?
A lot of people really do struggle with time and like the motivation to make the thing. So I always think about what can you make that you can make in advance and like meal prep, because my biggest thing too to eating healthy is the time if you're busy. I always say past me helps out future me. When I come home from a long day and I already know that I have meal prepped anything, like, if I know I'm going to be busy, but I have like 30 minutes to like make, to meal prep my breakfast, to make lunch, to to do something, I know I'm going to thank myself later because I did it. Like if I, for example, yesterday I was busy, but I had 30 minutes to prep my like breakfast. I made overnight oats. I prepped my breakfast for a couple days because I knew I only had this time right now and I didn't want to do it. But this morning I had breakfast made for me. And since I'm training for a marathon, nutrition is very important, having proper fuel, because one, you need to recover properly, but two, like you also need fuel to be, you know, running so many miles. And also I don't like to be hungry and to have to find things to be eating. And it's true. I do think that if you don't have anything healthy or nutritious readily available, you will grab something that is less healthy. And no matter what, if you're training for a marathon, you're just living your life, having healthy options available is a good idea. And sometimes, yes, you do like grab something that isn't as nutritious because we're all human. But like, I think meal prepping and having those options saves you so much time and stress later on by like just having it out there, because there's nothing worse than when you get home and you're like, I'm starving and I have no dinner.
Right. And then I just eat everything in sight.
And you are starving and or you're cooking late or you're like things go bad because you didn't plan. Like no one wants waste food and no one likes to be hungry.
That is just an equation for overeating, like until you feel miserable too.
Yes. You end up eating so fast that you don't actually realize that you're full. So
right.
It's just a recipe for disaster. I think if you can find some time to meal prep anything, you're gold. Even if it's like cut up vegetables, like right. It doesn't even have to be a whole meal. Like if you can, or you put the healthy thing in the fridge for when you're about to leave for work. Like if you put an apple right where you keep your coffee creamer, you might grab that apple and take it with you to work because people get hungry. I have a snack in every single purse I own. It's a granola bar, every single purse, a fruit strip in every single purse, because you don't know when you're going to be held up at the DMV or ShopRite or wherever and you are hungry.
Yes, I agree. And if I can prevent any crankies along with that, I am a much happier person for my family.
Great.
Yes. So marathon training, Boston Marathon, are you new to this?
This is my second marathon.
Okay.
So I ran a marathon. I have been running long distances for a very long time. I ran all throughout high school. I ran one season in college. And then after I ran that one season, I decided to start doing half marathons. So I've run 6 half marathons, 1 full marathon. And this is my first world marathon major, but I decided to do it because I'm part of a charity team. I'm raising money for Mass Eye and Ear, which is part of Mass Jen Brigham hospital like organization, but they treat diseases of like the head and neck and like eyes and like basically the whole like top of your body. But I felt very connected to them because I had thyroid cancer, which, you know, is a disease of the head and neck. So I felt very inspired to raise money for a charity that was connected to me. But also I was very fortunate to have a very, I guess what you could say with air quotes, good cancer experience. Okay. Because it had a low rate of reoccurrence and I still am in remission. So, and I didn't have to do a lot of like other type of therapies, whereas other people have had a worse go of it. So I wanted to contribute to, helping people who are less fortunate in their cancer journey than me. Since if I can be like an advocate, I can do something, because I had a relatively positive experience, if you can say that, like ironically, I had a positive cancer experience, you know, so I wanted to do something to give back in that way. And I love running. And running really helped me cope with my whole cancer journey. Like I was training for a half marathon while I was finding out that I was diagnosed. And then I had my 2 surgeries, and I really thought that I was going to run that half marathon after I had those 2 cancer surgeries. That was wishful thinking. There was no way I was going to run a half marathon after I, you know, had my whole body change and everything after having 2 surgeries back to back. But it gave me like something to like keep my mind off of it beforehand. I remember I ran like a long run of 9 miles the day before my surgery, like thinking, oh, this is fine. I'm just going to get right right back to it after I have surgery. So, but at the end of the day, it really helped me. And then it helped me, you know, like come back to like myself. And it's always been something to help me like cope with things. And now that I've had this all this time to like reflect, it's been 4 years. I really, it's just been a kind of part of my identity and always has been, but I'm happy that I can use it to like give back in that way.
That's amazing. I love the full circle here on having it and such an epic race. I mean, Boston Marathon, like, I'm so excited for you. Like, I can't wait.
Very nervous about it, but I have a lot of support. People have been so encouraging, and I really means a lot that people actually are donating to my charity. But at the end of the day, like, people are just excited for you, and it's it's coming up.
Very soon. When is it?
April 15th.
Do you listen to Allie on the Run, by the way?
I want you to know I refer to Allie Feller as my girl Allie in my life. I refer to her as my girl Allie when I talk about her. I am absolutely obsessed with her, her podcast, everything she posts on the Instagram. I make it my goal to respond to her Instagram stories. Truly, she is a gem. I don't know if you're going to bring up her her cancer journey.
Yes.
She has been very inspiring to me because she found out that she had cancer at the same time I was going through something very difficult back in like July. So really following her journey has been very inspiring to me, and just like seeing how she's been so positive and just her outlook and just everything. She's still able to have a sense of humor and be funny, and she is so wonderful.
Thank you for sharing about your cancer story and how that ties in. And what were some of the red flags for you during that process?
Well, this is what's unfortunate about the whole thing is I had no idea. Like, I literally had no idea. I actually just made a reel about this. But my mom was the one who asked me, Alyssa, what is that lump on your neck? And I said, nothing, mom, because that's what you say to your mom when they say something about you.
Right.
You say, nothing, it's fine. And then I kind of like just kept thinking about it. This was December 2019. And I was babysitting a family. And I remember sitting there being like, I don't know, maybe it's a swollen lymph node. Let me just call my primary care doctor. So I made an appointment saying, oh, I think I have a swollen lymph node. So I get there, the lady, you know, like feels around my neck. And then she makes me do some blood. And then she looks and goes, yeah, that's not a swollen lymph node. That realization when your doctor looks at you and goes, yeah, no, I'm sending you right now to go get an ultrasound. And this was December 31st. This is New Year's Eve. This is New Year's Eve, 2019. She goes, yeah, I'm rushing you over there to get an ultrasound. I said, okay, cool, thanks.
Oh.
Guess this is alarming now. I guess I need to be afraid. King Holman's note, being 20 years old, being like, cool, maybe not. So luckily the ladies at the front desk were super, super wonderful. They rushed me to get me an appointment like locally. They were like, where do you live? Let's put you here. So I was able to get like a last minute ultrasound on New Year's Eve at like 2 p.m. before things closed. Wow. And they did the ultrasound. They had done the blood work. And then a few days later, I got a phone call telling me like, yeah, like your blood work came back fine, which is actually bad because that means there's something else wrong. So it wasn't like my TSH was low or my T3 was this or whatever. No, everything was normal, which was not a good sign. They did tell me that I had Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune condition about, you know, means basically you're very sensitive to inflammation. In my case now, like before, it means that your body like attacks your thyroid and usually leads to low hypothyroidism. So that could have been the case if I, you know, still had my thyroid, but now I don't after they realized that, you know, it was full of cancer. So that's what we learned later. They told me, okay, so you need to see an endocrinologist. So this was very scary because I was literally 20. I just turned 21 in January. So I was finding all my doctors and my surgeons and everything. And no one teaches you really how to do that. Like, I got a recommendation from my primary care physician and she said, okay, so these are some endocrinologists that I like in the area. So I literally called the one nearby. And then when I got an appointment for a few like days later. And then I got into her office and my endocrinologist goes, how did you get this appointment? Because she's so booked up, this woman. She's in such like high demand that I randomly got, I guess, a cancellation for her, which, you know, is one of those like cosmic things. And she's still my endocrinologist to this day, 4 years later. She's very wonderful. But she did like a biopsy. They had to send it out to California. I had to keep waiting. And then the results came back as greater than 50% chance of it being cancer, which is kind of terrible because there's no actual like data to that. They're like, this is greater than 50% chance, so we have to take it out to find out if you have cancer or not. So that sucks, truthfully, to be like, so I'm having surgery to know if I have cancer or not. You know, right. And that's hard thing to like tell people. You're like, so I might have cancer, I might not, but like, you know, so I really kind of kept it to myself at the time because you don't want to alarm people for no reason. I kind of kept it on the down low and it's like, oh, I'm just having surgery. You know, it didn't really tell a lot of people because you don't want to, I didn't want to like make a big deal out of nothing if it wasn't nothing. So then I scheduled my surgery for the Monday of my spring break because I didn't want to miss school. And then lo and behold, this was March of 2020. So it's, yes, this is March of 2020. Shoot. So I had my first surgery March 9th. And then I had to find out that I had to have another surgery because there was lymphovascular invasion, which meant that they had to take out the other side too. So literally 10 days later, I had to have the same exact surgery, which was worse because the first time was like a little fun because I didn't know what I was getting into. I was like, oh, you know, my whole family was there. They supported me. There was no COVID yet. Like we were having, it was, I want to say a good time, air quotes, you know, it was exciting. I didn't know I had cancer. It was just a new experience. You know, I got to have hospital ice cream and then I get a phone call. Oh no, we did it. There was cancer in that side and we got to take out the other side too. And that was when COVID started really ramping up. So I got rushed into the next surgery. And then, you know, it was March 2020 and the world shut down.
Oh, sounds awful. Yeah.
Yes, I got cancer during COVID.
Yeah.
Isn't that such a crazy thing to say?
Right. Oh, my gosh. But look at you now. You're thriving. How's life on the other side?
It's, you know, it's at the time I really kind of didn't think about it because I think I was so focused on once I found out that I like wasn't going to die and like I was going to be okay. And I really just had to take levothyroxine for the literal rest of my life. That I don't love knowing that I literally have to take this pill every single day for the rest of my life or I will die. Like I say that laughing, but like, you know, I always need to have medical insurance now because I cannot not have this medication. Like I can like miss 1 or 2 days and I'm not, but like you don't want to. That's not something you like want to be missing. You always want to be taking it on time and right because you need it. Your body does not make that hormone anymore. Like it like physically can't. So you super need to have it. So that I don't love. But it's at the time I didn't think about it so much because I was so focused on COVID that like only after like 8 months had gone by that I thought to myself, oh, that was kind of hard. I didn't really love that experience. So I've done a lot of reflecting out, but it's definitely helped me have a new lease on life. Not that I was going to like die, but like it gave me a big perspective about how much I value my health, how much I value my friends and family. Like who is there for you in your time of need? How are they showing up for you? And like just the support and love that you feel. It's a different sort of thing when your friends are there for you because I remember I was very scared, obviously. And I only told a handful of my friends, the friends that were like with me kind of every day at college. And the day, like the last day we saw each other before spring break, they made me a wonderful care package with like things to do while I was like on like bed rest. They gave me a blanket with avocados on it. They gave me a candle, some nail polish and like a coloring book. Like, and I'm still friends with all of those ladies today. They're all dietitians. Like, the friends who are there for you in your time of need will be there when you're just like having fun and like having like a girl's day, but they're still going to be there for you. Like they have been so wonderful the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I am so lucky that they were there for me then and they're there for me now.
That is so wonderful to hear. How has your nutrition philosophy maybe changed since this life occurrence?
I have two, I go between two like things. I either go like, I already had cancer. It's, you don't have to eat perfectly healthy. Like I was the last person I thought was ever going to get cancer. Truthfully, like I was a vegetarian at the time. I was running a half marathon. Like this is when BMI was still something that people were talking about. Like my BMI was good. My blood work was good. Like on paper, you look at me even, and you probably did look at me like as my person. And you said that girl looks healthy. Well, I was the least healthy person. I literally had a thyroid like nodule, like two thyroid nodules, like running rampant in my neck. Like, you know, that's why you can't look at someone. That's really changed my perspective. Like you cannot look at someone and know their health status. You cannot look at someone living in a larger body and be like, oh, they must have diabetes. They must have high blood pressure. They must have heart disease, because you do not know what they eat. You do not know what their lifestyle is. You don't know their stress levels, because you could look at me, who seemingly looked like a healthy person to like traditional standards, and I was not healthy. So that definitely has changed my perspective. It'd be like, you cannot look at someone and determine their health status. You really have to look at their whole picture, their eating habits, their blood work, their stress, their like hydration, to really get an accurate picture of their health, which I think has definitely helped me be a better practitioner. And some, we all have our own form of like biases, and that 100% like changed my perspective on health is like not viewing, like literally not looking at someone and assuming anything about their health until you actually talk to them and like hear what they're saying. Because as a practitioner, you can't look at someone and like just judge them right away. You can't look at a client and be like, oh, I bet they sleep bad because they're this type of career or something like that. So that has changed in that way. But also it has helped me. I do want to take very good care of myself because I did have cancer. So it's like, and since I don't have my thyroid anymore, there's a lot more things that I am sensitive to inflammation because of the Hashimoto's. So I do try to eat foods that are anti-inflammatory. And I know that if I don't eat foods that are like nourishing and healthy, I do feel a certain type of way. So I go back and forth, honestly, all the time between like being like, no, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. And then also being like, well, I do like a vegetable, you know, trying to find the balance between like really being healthy, but also like, you know, having the foods that you like that may not be as healthy. Because I love diet soda. Like people would be, and I love the coffee creamer that you get at Dunkin' Donuts. Like I will not give that up. Like I love the sugar syrup at Dunkin' Donuts. It just tastes so good. And it did give me cavities when I was a senior, when I was a freshman in college. Like I went to the dentist. I had never had a cavity in my whole life. And then the dental hygienist goes, what do you put in your coffee? And I said, sugar syrup. And they said, oh, that's what gave you these cavities. And I said, no. And they said, yes. But yet, you will catch me once a week getting myself a treat. And it is something to notice.
Good for you. You have to live a little bit too, and you have to enjoy it, right?
I always say, you pick your thing. I always say, everyone's got their thing. Yes. People would be surprised that I love coffee creamer. I love coffee. But you know what? It's not going to kill me. It just won't. It's not. Like, if you really love diet soda, drink it. If you love cream cheese, have it. Like, you know, but also maybe have some broccoli in the day.
You bet. I love hearing that. Where can people go and connect with you?
So I am at Arugalissa on Instagram and TikTok. And my name is Alyssa Smolin on LinkedIn and like Facebook and all those certain types of things. But I'm mostly on Instagram because TikTok is a little scary.
Yeah, it
so
is.
So I'll ask that. But mostly at Arugalissa on Instagram.
Awesome. Any other last takeaways?
I think I want everybody to know you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Like that is truly my life motto. I like, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to DM the brand. Don't be afraid to tell someone that you like their shoes. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, don't be afraid, and don't be afraid to be yourself. I think sometimes people get so scared to like actually show their personality. But my favorite dietitians are the ones that post exactly on their story what I would say. Like, what I see on their story that they posted, that I say, that helps me be more of myself, because in dietetics, we're taught in school to be so professional, to be so scientific. And a lot of the time we like lose our own personalities, and everybody seems kind of the same and bland and boring, if I'm being completely honest. And when you see someone who is real or says something, or like, I had a dietitian that I follow, she posted that her daughter was eating a Pop-Tart. Exactly. So when she posts things like that, I feel like I have more permission, because she's very established. She's very famous.
Alyssa, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story here. It was inspirational, and also good luck on the marathon. What an inspirational story in her health journey, both in her professional and personal life. I was in awe by what she had to go through and in the steps and during that time, during COVID alongside of it. I really want to thank Alyssa for sharing her story here. Be sure to connect with her on Instagram and show your support for her upcoming Boston Marathon run by checking out the link and donate to Give and Gain Foundation that is found in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Dietitian Podcast.